blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 168, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid, thou hearer of the suppliant's prayer. To thee in need shall all repair to seek thy gracious aid. 1, 4, and 5 of 168.
scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the second book of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians and thereof chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who art our creator, but also our provider, then it has been the pleasure of men to set aside a day in the springtime when all things do in nature show that thou dost uphold thy word and thy truth from the very beginning, and when thou dost show that life begins to be seen in nature all around us. And then it has behooved men to set aside a day wherein we may try to beseech of thee concerning the season that is before us, concerning all the natural needs that there are amongst us and amongst our children. For we gather Sabbath after Sabbath day, and we do beseech of thee in the first place for those things which are spiritual, and yet in thy word thou dost say that is not first which was spiritual, but that which was natural. Then thou hast created Adam, and thou hast given unto him a body, and thou hast breathed into him a soul. and thy disciples did ask of thee, teach us to pray. And thou didst say that they must say, and to ask of thee, give us this day our daily bread. O Lord, then it is evident in all thy providing hand that thou dost look from heaven thy dwelling place upon this earth, this sin-cursed earth, that thou dost still uphold it with thy good providence. And then there is so much expectation amongst men when the springtime does come, and then looking into the future season, and yet there is so little calling upon thy name in need. But thou who dost invite and who dost command men to seek thy face for the blessings which thou alone art able to give, wilt thou hear us when we come together to beseech thee for the season that is now lying before us, in a special way when the farmers will go out upon the land, and when they will till and sow, and when all the work of men shall go forth from the morning until the evening, then it is all awaiting thy blessing. O, we beseech thee, Lord, and that thou mayest look upon us and our loved ones, that thou wouldest provide for us in the season that lies before us, to give sunshine and to give the rain, to give the life unto the seed, and that it might grow and bring forth fruit, and that there may be food for us and for our children, and may it be for the good of mankind, and may it be also to the humbling of the hearts of mankind, and that we, with all our natural blessings, may humble ourselves before thee, that we might seek thee, and that all that is natural may lead us to that which is spiritual, that it may bring us to hunger and thirst for the knowledge of thee and of thy dear Son. Oh, that we could not live without that life that is given by thee in a spiritual way. Lord, wilt thou teach us and our children, and thou knowest how many fears that there can be so often concerning the future. And because we do not know the future, and then in a special way, because we are creatures that are undeserving of the least of all thy notice or all thy attention, then we deserve that thou would bring thy judgments upon us in that season that lies before us. O Lord, deal not with us as we so justly deserve. O, deal with us in thy grace, deal with us in thy mercy, and that thou may look upon us for time and for eternity. And then all the natural needs of thy church are not dependent upon that which is common, but they are all lying firm in thy dear Son, because also all the bread and the water that shall be sure unto thy people. And then, Lord, we may be connected to them, at least in an outward manner, here within thy church, here within the land, also where thy church does dwell, and so to receive the blessings that thou dost give, in order that thy church may be brought in. Oh, that it might be uppermost in our hearts, to use all our gifts and all our resources for Thee, that our hearts may be broken and contrite, and that we may be made to seek after that one thing needful. And while it is still called today, do look upon the afflicted and the poor, those that are needy in the time in which we live, who do not know from day to day where their shelter and their clothing and their food will come from. Oh, that they also may receive a cry to the God of heaven and of earth, who art able to make the barrel of meal and not to waste, and the cruse of oil not to fail, until that thou dost send rain upon the earth. Oh, that that man may be given to see the blessings in the service of the true and the living God, and that we may be brought by all thy providences to humble ourselves in the dust before thee. Look thou upon thy cause throughout the length and the breadth of this world, because thy church is an afflicted people, they are a poor people, and it is for a reason that thou dost make them so, because when we are lifted up with all the blessings, then we do forget thee. Oh, then it must be through trial and tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And thou knowest where thy church is, both here and over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou remember them in a special way in all their trials and in all their afflictions, that they may be sanctified, and that they might lead men round about them also as an Omai of old, and that they may be to the drawing unto the true and the living God, when men may behold the greatest treasure, which is able to uphold a man through all trial and affliction here below. Oh, that the cause of thy kingdom and may prosper in the season that lies before us, that all thy providences over this whole world and may be for the coming of thy kingdom. Lord, wilt thou look upon us as a congregation, that thou may give supply for those that own businesses, those that do labor for the upholding of their families. Lord, that thou may prosper the way of each and every one, and that thou may give also diligence in our labors, because thou dost command us to labor for 6 days, or that thou may give us to do it with a heart that is full of love for thee and full of love for thy church, with a desire that we may also be a means to support those causes of thy kingdom, and that thou may bless us all together. Lord, remember the denomination. Wilt thou prosper in the season that lies before us, thy word, and that does go forth in the midst of our congregations. Lord, give us men. Oh, may it be to sow the seed of thy word, and that the rain and the sunshine of thy Holy Spirit may be the great influence, and that it may go forth downward and bring forth fruit upward unto thee. Remember the theological student, and the instructors, and all those that labor each and every day. And remember all thy servants. Remember in a special way the persecuted church over the length and breadth of this whole world. O Lord, give us more to think upon them and to remember them, and that thou mayest help and encourage them, and that thou mayest give that the seed of the martyrs may indeed, that the blood of the martyrs may indeed be the seed of the church, and that it may spread from nation to nation, and that thy kingdom may come through all the ways wherein thou dost deal with thy church. Oh, in the end, then it shall be not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. Oh, that it might be also in the hearts of young and old in our midst, to teach our children and rising generation, fathers and mothers, that all the bounties of this life and all that this world has to offer, that is just vanity, that it is all passing away, and that we would not be laboring for that which does perish, but that we might labor for that which does endure unto life everlasting. Give us to see the preciousness of these things, that they are worthy of all of our effort, and that they are worthy of all of our time, and that they are worthy of all of our resources. Oh, that our whole heart, mind, and soul may be given to, with all of our might, seek after and search after the true and the living God, and that thou may give prosperity in thy church. May it be in the season that lies before us, and that thy word may go forth with power, and that that seed may be sown also in our midst. Oh, that that word may be for the bringing forth of fruit unto life eternal, and that thou mayest be given to enjoy the fruit of thy own vineyard. Lord, remember us in this evening hour. Wilt thou give help from above, a little meditation upon this thy holy word of truth, and give us to set aside for a moment all of the cares, and that it might be for the encouragement of those that are discouraged, and for the comforting of all those that do fear, that thou mayest be in the midst of us. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 305, stanzas 1 through 6. There is one collection today for our school, unless otherwise noted. How blessed the man who fears the Lord and greatly loves God's holy will. His children share his great reward, and blessings all their days shall fill. 1 through 6 of Psalter 305. Beloved congregation, what is prayer? Prayer is an acknowledgement. It is an acknowledgement of God. It is an acknowledgement of the existence of God. Boys and girls, when you will only just fold your hands and close your eyes, and you will pray unto God, then you are saying that you believe that God exists, that you believe that God is. We read in the Bible that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God, and that is the evident belief of all prayerless men. But it is not only an acknowledgement of God's existence, it is also an acknowledgement of our dependence, of our weakness, of our inability to provide for ourselves. And when we fold our hands and close our eyes, and we ask the Lord for provision, and then we are acknowledging that we believe, and that God is able to give unto us all those things that we do ask of him. David says the wicked, through the pride of his heart, will not seek after God. That is, in his pride, thus to pray to God is to honor him, and to refuse to pray to God is to dishonor him. Jeremiah prayed and that the Lord would pour out his fury upon those families which called not upon the name of the Lord. This dependence that we have is not a consequence of the fall. It was before the fall. It is not a consequence of sin that we are so dependent. No, but we were created so dependent. Even mankind, the very height, the very crown of the creation of God, was so created in dependence upon him. Thus, that dependence is not a cause for shame. No, man was made to glorify God, and that dependence of man upon him is a means for the glorification of the Lord. Thus, as high as man was created, he was created still to bow. Not that he may be independent of God, not that he may be able to live and to exist and to work and to do aside from him. It is a wonder that prayer still exists, and that the Lord still gives prayer, and that he hears prayer, and that he answers prayer, that his ears are not closed to every supplication of fallen mankind here below. Do we ever feel something of this? And yet it is just the opposite. When we read in the Word of God, then we read how God is a great defender of the poor, and then the compassion and the pity that lives in him for those who are in need, and that is in need because of our own fault, because of our own sin, and then this compassion, then it seems that it knows no bounds. It is so much greater than the compassion that lives in our hearts, even for our fellow man. Our text for this special evening, it can be found in the portion that was read to you, 2 Corinthians 9, and thereof the 10th verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So far the words of our text. Paul's blessing upon the Corinthians. And three thoughts. First, concerning bread for food. Second, concerning seed for sowing. And third, concerning fruits of righteousness. Paul's blessing upon the Corinthians. First, concerning bread for food. Second, concerning seed for sowing. And third, concerning fruits of righteousness. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Who is that, children? Who is that that ministereth seed to the sower? That is God. That is actually here the Apostle Paul is calling God by this name. He gives God this name by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He that ministereth seed to the sower. God has many names by which he is known in the Holy Scriptures. And why is it that God reveals himself by names? That is that his rational creatures, that is people, human beings, may come to know him. That is why he reveals himself, and then he reveals himself in his being and in his existence and in his offices and in his works, and that is all in order that we might know him. We have spoken a little bit about the natural creation lately and how that a man can come to know certain things of God, but there are so many things of him that we cannot know from the natural creation that are revealed to us in his own holy word. And then the Lord has a purpose with this knowledge of him, that we might also love him, that we might also desire him. Is that also now what goes in our heart? When we look all about us and we see that all nature praises God and that we have a desire. How does nature praise God? That is not actually in and of itself. No, because a tree and an animal, they cannot praise God. But how is it that all nature pray? Well, that is through men. And thus, congregation, that fall of man, oh, how much damage that has done to the glory of God here below. God calls himself by many names that we might know him. He calls himself by the name of Creator, and that we see so beautifully all around us. And what does that now do to us? And when the Lord says, I am thy Creator, I am he that has made thee, all do we then know something of him? And is there then something that draws our heart, that we say we want to love him, we want to serve him? The Lord reveals himself with the name of Judge. Judge, what does that do to us? Then we must feel something, that we also have to give an answer for all those benefits that the Lord is giving to us each and every season again. Loading us, bestowing so many blessings upon ourselves and upon our children. The Lord reveals himself by the name of Father of the Fatherless. and a judge of the widows. Ah, what a beautiful name, is it not? Or in the midst of this, why are there widows? And why are there fatherless? Ah, why is there death? That is all sin, isn't it? And thus the consequences of our own sin. And it is all our own misery. And then the Lord is looking here upon this world from heaven, his dwelling place, especially upon those that are needy. And the Lord does make himself to be the helper of the needy. What does that do to us? Oh, does that not make our heart burn, congregation? When we would see it in a man here in the midst of this world, when we would see it in a man, and that he has so much compassion for the poor, then our heart goes after such a man, does it not? And may we not look about us then, and may we not look in the Word of God and see what he proclaims himself to be. And now in this evening hour, what do we read in the words of our text? Because, congregation, there is so much to know of him, and we have lost all that knowledge. Can we imagine what that would be, young people, had we never fallen? Then we were created in his image, and we knew who he was. And now through that fall, we have lost the knowledge of him, and there is so much of him to learn. And now in this evening hour, we have another name placed before us of who that God is. We read he is called he that ministereth seed to the sower. Congregation, this name of the Lord that is given to us in this evening is worthy in this prayer day of our deep meditation. He that ministereth seed to the sower. Because what are we doing today? When we stop a moment and when we come to his house, before that we are going to go on, and before that we are going to do all our season's labors, and before the farmers are going to go out into the field, what are we doing? And we are stopping for a moment. And then we are considering, and we are meditating. And we are humbling ourselves, or we ought to be, to feel something of our inability in going forward, that we are not able to provide for ourselves. And I think there are few that experience in a daily way that dependence upon the Lord. There are few that experience this as evidently as the farmers in our midst, as the farmers who are daily looking how that the Lord is going to give to them the blessing upon all the labors of their hands when they now have to go out into that field. And I know that we now have pivots. Say, that is a blessing, right? Great blessing. Because, the Lord gives to man wisdom. But let the Lord just withhold a little bit. And then man feels. He feels the place where he is. He feels where he is standing before the Lord. He that ministereth seed to the sower. I think then he feels something of that, doesn't he? You think that, boys and girls, the farmer, I think he feels something of this. To minister, what is that? That is to furnish. That is to supply. Thus, it is a ministration. That is, as it were, it is an office. And that is an office, a ministration, we read, of God himself. Thus, he that ministereth seed to the sower, that is he from whom that supply is coming. And he who is receiving this ministration of him, he has not to concern himself about where that seed now is coming from. No, because that is belonging to the office of him who is ministering seed to the sower. That belongs to him. And he does not need to disclose unto us from where his powers are coming, what all of his secrets are in all of his providences. No, but only that we know that there is he that ministereth seed to the sower. And then there is so much that he is keeping hidden from us, that is all within his mysterious providences, only to make us to stand in awe of him. He that ministereth seed to the sower, he is the one who apportions that seed. And he that is receiving that seed from him that ministereth seed to the sower, he has not to ask, why dost thou give one more seed and another less seed? No. Because that all belongs to the ministration of him that ministers seed to the sower. And that ministration is a sovereign ministration that is belonging only unto God alone. Is it not lawful for him to do what he will with his own shell, an unworthy recipient of the favors of the Lord, complain about the gift, the free gift that he has so undeservedly received from him that ministereth seed to the sower? There is an end that is not in ministering that seed. He has a purpose in it. And this evening, then we must speak a little of those outward things. But now, for what purpose is he doing this? Then we may see how the providences of the Lord are over this world for a particular reason. That the Lord is bringing in his own church. That the Lord is working in a mysterious way his wonders to perform, that he may bring in his church from the length and the breadth of the whole world. And every one of his providences, they are for the good of his own people, even when it seems to them that all these things are against me. The mysteriousness of the ministration of him that ministereth seed to the sower. Congregation, did it ever become your comfort? This name, he that ministereth seed to the sower. Did it ever become your comfort amidst all your afflictions and all your trials and all your impossibilities and all of your incompetencies here upon this earth? Because the Lord says thou canst not make one hair white or black. Ever feel that? Did the Lord ever so stand in your way? so stand in your way in everything that you try to do that you finally had to go on your knees, that you finally had to say, this does not work. This does not go. There is something here not right. He that ministereth seed to the sower, may you ever then go on your knees before him who is controlling everything in the way of his providences. May it ever be a comfort to you that he reigns over this world, and to meditate upon his attributes, to meditate upon his power, to meditate upon all his sufficiency. But we need more than power, don't we? Yeah, we need more than power. What do we need? We need also that the Lord is willing, right? Because if the Lord has all the power, and you may believe that, and I think outwardly we all believe that, right? Now you say, yeah, is the Lord willing? That's a good question. Why is that such a good question? Well, especially in our case, right? Yes, because what is our case? Our case is that we do not deserve the least, like Jacob said, of all of thy notice and of thy attention. Thus, we have made ourselves unworthy of his supply, so we may say, ah, I believe that he is able, but is he now willing? Because there is a season before us. And if I look at my life, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a young person. And when I look at my whole life and I look at what is inside, and then I think a prayer day, yes, I fold my hands, I come to church, but I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. Because I don't need him, and because I do not love him. You know what Paul says? He says, he that ministereth. And then he is speaking about a ministration that is taking place after the fall, that is taking place to this whole world. You see anything in that beautiful name? He that ministereth seed unto the sower. He that ministers to a man who is making his daily choice to follow after vanity. When I am honest. And then the world means more to me than the Lord means. And then how can I fold my hands? What does Paul say? He says, he that ministereth seed to the sower. What is that? What is that? That is grace. Right? That is to give and to supply for those who do not deserve it. That is grace. But here we are not speaking about special grace. No. Here we're speaking about common grace. Thus common grace, that is also grace. That is to those who are undeserving. But that is now given commonly. It is given to all men. Not only to the church of God, but now to uphold this world for the sake. Why? Why is the Lord upholding this world? That is all that he may bring in his church, that he may gather his church unto the end of the world. Thus it is common grace to an unworthy mankind. Who can fathom the long-suffering of God. For those who have their back turned to God, with all of those gifts, and yet the Lord is providing every day this, what he that ministereth seed to the sower is doing, is promised by him never to cease. Never to cease until the end of this world. That is what the Lord has promised unto Noah when he has destroyed this world with a flood. And then he has said that seed time and harvest and summer and winter, they will not cease. Thus the Lord, this name, he that ministereth seed to the sower. Ah, that is going back so far, isn't it? It is going back even unto paradise. That is a name that is describing who God is, who is unchangeable from eternity, and whose glory is made manifest in the creation of the world, but also in the fall of mankind. Because it is a glorying of his grace to creatures who do not deserve it. And still, sometimes there is famine in the world. Sometimes there are dry years so that nothing is grown. Just think about the days of Joseph. 7 years. 7 years and nothing grew. Famine. Does that change who God is? No. But that is his ministration. His ministration. So that at one time he is giving, and another time he is withholding, and to one is given more, and to another is given less. All the ministration of he that ministereth seed unto that sower. Then he has good reasons, right? What are the reasons? All those providential things. There is something much greater that the Lord is establishing and working in the world. When we think about Joseph and where he is laying in that prison, and those brothers and where they are, and his father, and the children of Israel, and the promise of the Lord to his people, all of this, and even what the Lord has said unto his people and promised unto his people, even from the very beginning, and then all of this famine, all of this ministration of the Lord, of the seed to the sower, that is all working to one end, that is for the glory of the Lord and to the bringing up in of his church. What is Paul doing here? He says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And we call it a blessing. Maybe we could call it a benediction, a sort of a prayer, but it is actually more than a prayer, because there is a certain certainty in it. What Paul is saying is God will do it. God will provide bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You say, how does Paul know that? Well, that is based on the promise of the Lord. Then we have to go back to verse 9 here. Then Paul says, as it is written. So Paul knows the word of God. He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Paul has sent Timothy unto the Corinthians. And he has written a letter to the Corinthians, and Timothy is bringing this letter to them, and that letter is urging these Corinthians that they may help the poor saints at Jerusalem. Ah, why are there poor saints at Jerusalem? You say those are God's people, are they not? Should they then be poor? Does that Lord not take care of his? Oh yes, oh yes. But how does the Lord take care of his people? That is not by showering upon them all the blessings of this world, no. Because what is our heart? Ah, then we make a paradise of this world. Oh, the Lord says it is through much tribulation that ye must enter into that kingdom of God. And the Lord is trying his own people. Ah, those poor saints that are in Jerusalem. Then they also need to be provided for. And if the Lord is looking over the poor in this world, then in a very special way, the Lord is looking over the afflicted of his own church, of his own people. Thus, Paul says that he knew that they were ready a year ago. He has boasted of their zeal to the Macedonians. And what is he doing? He is saying, well, now I come because I am on my way and I want to make sure that you are ready. And I have spoken about your zeal to the Macedonians. And then I want to make sure that you have your gift for the poor in Jerusalem, that you have that gift ready. And then in the middle of that admonition, then he, as it were, puts a little aside, and then he says, what does it now say, Corinthians? What does it say now in the Word of God? And he turns to Psalm 112, which says, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. What is that? His righteousness endureth forever. He's speaking about a man whose righteousness remained. He would remain the way he was. He was a man that was ever a man with a pitiful heart, with a heart of compassion. And that righteousness, that liberality that was living in his heart, that is the kind of a man that he was speaking about. And we read that more in the Word of God, because we read that also in Psalm 41, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Oh, the Lord's care for the poor. Because that is the lot, congregation, so often of his church here below. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which God had promised to them that love him? No, that is not all of those poor in an outward way. They will be afflicted in many, many different ways. Paul is looking now to the Corinthians who had somewhat more than those poor that were in Jerusalem. And now Paul speaks about this promise unto them in this benediction, in this prayer, in this blessing. He says, if you will now walk in this way, then you can expect the blessing of the Lord upon it. You say, is that always so? Are there not people in this world who have a heart so full of love for the poor, and yet their life, it seems, that is wrought with nothing but affliction and trouble? The Lord has not promised them that they will be without affliction, because if they are without affliction, where does that place them? Places them outside of God's church, doesn't it? Then they are bastards and not sons, the Lord says. Oh, what has the Lord promised them? Let us sing first. 113, 1, 2, 3, and 12. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1, 2, 3, and 12 of 113. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food. Thus that is the first thing. Bread for your food. Man's wisdom, or maybe we should say man's foolishness, says that if I give my bread to the poor, then I am no longer going to have bread for my food. That is now the notion that the Lord here overturns. He says that it is a fear which has no ground. A man can have so many fears, right? And it can be living in his heart. Then he sees a great need, that his heart goes open. And then especially for God's true church. And they see that suffering. And then their heart goes open. And then they so wish that they might give also. But, then they say, shall I now have bread myself? Shall I now have bread for my family? Shall I be able to feed my own children? The Lord does not promise a man luxury, no. But do you know what the Lord says to that man? He says to him that you shall have bread for your food. That you shall still have sufficient. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. No, but thy life will I give to thee for a prey in all places whithersoever thou goest. Thus the Lord takes care of the instruments that he is using to take care of his people, to take care of the church, to take care of even the poor outwardly in this world. He that ministereth seed to the sower, he looks upon those deeds, though no other man may see or know those deeds, thus such a man may lay all his care before the Lord. Lord, wilt thou not then give me bread also for my food? Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. It needs, in the first place, for that man who is an instrument, he needs to be taken care of himself. And thus the Lord is caring for those instruments and multiply your seed sown. What does that mean? That refers to the seed for sowing. That is, for sowing again. In other words, the Lord will multiply the amount of seed that he will give to you in order to be able to sow that seed again. Thus, what is the sowing of the seed? Well, Paul is speaking about that collection that he is asking those Corinthians for, that they may supply for the want of the poor saints in Jerusalem, and that is children, that seems maybe, like every pence, every penny that they are giving into that bag, it seems maybe just like they are throwing that away. Just like a farmer, right? When he takes that precious seed and he is just throwing that on the ground. You say he throws that away. That's what it seems like, right? But he knows that he is not doing that. Because he knows that out of that seed that he is seemingly throwing away, there is going to come a growth, there is going to come a multiplication, and that he is going to receive by the blessing of the Lord more seed.
Thus,
the Lord is instructing those Corinthians about the purpose of all the labors of their hands. We are ready now, right, to do that. We are going forward, if the Lord may spare us, into that season that lies before us. The farmers will go out into the field. The men, well, we do our work every day, right? But a new season. Why? Why are you doing that? Why the labors of your hands? Say, well, because I want this, and I want that, and I want that. Is that why? Is that the purpose? The Lord, Solomon, he says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Take the talent from him and give it unto him who has 10 talents. What does Paul say? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Thus the Lord says that that man that is laboring for this purpose, that he is laboring for that cause, that he may do good unto other men, and especially unto that house of God, he is going to find something. He is going to find a multiplication of the seed that he is, and that is entrusted to him, that he may sow again, that he may throw it away, as it were, again, that he may distribute it, as it were, again. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that, for that reason, that ye, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Does not say that you may have more and more and more of all the riches of this world. No. That ye may abound to every good work. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food in the first place to take care of you. Is that not a wonder? And multiply your seed sown, give you supply, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So what is that? What is your righteousness? Then we have to go back here also to verse 9. He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. What is his righteousness? We said that is his liberality. That is his liberal heart. And what comes out of that liberal heart? They are the works. And Paul says these are the fruits of that righteousness that is living in the heart, that liberality towards the poor and towards God's church. That is, they are the fruits of his righteousness. So Paul says, he that ministereth seed to the sower, increase your liberality. Not only give you the seed and multiply that seed that you may have it, but give you the heart that you may give it. Because we may not force that from anyone. No, Paul says that is not the way. It must proceed out of the heart. Each one freely, every man according as he proposeth in his heart. Each one. Young people, you too, something. So let him give. not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Thus that hand of liberality must come out. It must be moved by the heart of compassion for the Lord's poor, not like Ananias and Sapphira. What did they want? They gave to something. Then they wanted everybody to see it and to honor them. That is why the Lord says, let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Because this is not for our honor. No, it is for the honor of him who ministereth seed to the sower. The one from whom all those blessings are coming. And that ought to be the purpose of our heart. Paul says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us, who's that? Paul. Because they're going to bring that gift to Jerusalem for God's people. Thanksgiving unto God. Oh, what are God's people going to do there in Jerusalem? They are going to melt away under the goodness of the hand of the Lord. For the supplications that have gone up unto the Lord of Sabaoth in all of their distress, and in all that they were not able to provide for themselves, for the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, that is one thing, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. There you have it. There you have the reason that he that ministereth seed to the sower will multiply your seed sown, in order that those poor saints may bless God for it. Paul says that long after you, because of that grace of God that is in you, that God gives and puts in you to give unto them, then there is a consciousness even of the communion of the saints. Thus the natural things, they are all in the Lord's providence serving what? His kingdom. All those things which are spiritual, and those people, then they are ready to fold their hands and to close their eyes and to ask the Lord for his blessing also upon you, he says. Their heart is drawn to you because there is a drawing of the people of the Lord one unto another. That is why Paul says to the Galatians, as a man has opportunity, he must do good unto all men, especially unto the household of God. Congregation, it is prayer day. And to whom do we pray? We pray unto he that ministereth seed to the sower. That is to whom we pray. That is one of his names, one of his beautiful names. A name that is for the purpose of giving comfort, that we may go forward in this world not in our own strength, to labor for the welfare of our family, and then for what purpose? We pray to him for a purpose and for a reason. Is our motive, is our intention, then we come up, we say it's prayer day. And we are going to ask the Lord for his blessing. Is now our motive tonight, today, the same as what the Lord's intention is by giving a blessing? Socialism and communism aim to distribute the wealth that is in the world, so there are no more poor, and that there's no more classes of rich or poor. It will never happen. The Lord says, the poor have you always with you. And the name of God is blessed. The name of God is magnified when he increases the fruits of men's righteousness, when he fills their heart with pity and with compassion after himself for the suffering poor of his people. Congregation, why do we pray to the Lord to bless the labors of our hands? Is that tonight that we may have bread for our food? Or is that tonight that we may have prosperity, that we may sin against the Lord? To go on in all the ways of carnality, what is now living in our heart? Do we want more than that? Bread for our food? James says, having bread and raiment, let us therewith be content. Bread for food. There is something so much greater for us to labor for, if we may only have bread for our food and a covering over our head and clothing to put on, then there is something so much greater, because time that is so quickly slipping away from us and our children. Do you desire to labor for the cause of the kingdom of God, where the needs of that kingdom are showing themselves throughout this world? That is the needs of the true church of God. Because what do we have that we have not received from he that ministereth seed to the sower? And what is the reason that he has ministered that seed unto us? Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, that he that ministereth seed to the sower, that he may be blessed of men. Under the receipt of all that goodness, on account of your liberality, that Christ, that God, that his kingdom may come, that he may be glorified, and that all that is carnal may work together for good to that which is spiritual, that we, with God's true church, both far and near, together may say, as we read in the end of this chapter with the Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are so tied to all that is carnal, but thou givest it unto us that we also may minister unto the poor. Give us hearts, Lord, to work for such a cause, each and every one of us. Give us new hearts, hearts of flesh that love thee, that love thy church, that love thy people, that are drawn to thee and thy kingdom, and that we may desire that thy kingdom may come, that the labors of our hands may be blessed, and that all our accountability, which is placed upon us, may indeed be felt, and that we might labor under thy watch, for thy cause, and with thy blessing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 306. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore, from this time forth forevermore. 1 through 4 of 306. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.